I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Happy Friday. Show number 1110. Place to go. 1110. Darling, show 1110. I don't know why I keep saying that. No place to go. Why don't we dance and then we'll do the show?
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby.
Broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago, the world's greatest city. And, of course, home of the Loyola Ramblers. You know, listen, aren't we all a rambler?
Looking at the Willis Tower, the skyline of the city, I think everybody's all in on this.
Cool story.
Yeah, it really
is. Very cool story. Let's go live to Dave in the arena where they played last
Phillips
night.
Arena.
Where were they?
Phillips Arena.
Where?
Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right. They almost didn't get there, right?
Well, that was practice the other day.
A pack mule and a stagecoach. Yes. They have a 10-point lead, or was it 12?
They were up by 12. They hit their first 12 shots of the second half. They were up by 4 at halftime.
And they're up by 12 with how long to go?
It was
6 minutes? 7 minutes?
A little more than that, I think.
9 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
they were up at the it was about the 13-minute mark.
Okay. All right. So with 7 minutes to go, or 13 minutes to go, it's a 12-point lead. Now, that's in college basketball and NBA. That's not an insurmountable lead, but that's a significant lead.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way Loyola wins is to try to put Sister Jean in cardiac arrest, even though she seems like the coolest person in the arena.
Yeah, she I don't think she sweats.
I'm 98. I've seen everything.
That's right.
Yeah, right. She wears a coat with leather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look at her.
Oh,
she's hip.
She's a bomber chick.
A rock star.
So they end up getting down to a point where it could go either way, and you're thinking, well, this has been a good run, but Nevada's going to hit a three, and this is going to be over. Mm-hmm. And the kid from Loyola, the hero of last night, was who?
Marcus Towns.
Right.
The freshman. Now, that wasn't the shot that put him back in front. That was Andre Jackson. But it was Towns when they're nursing a one-point lead.
Right.
Final half a minute, and you know, based on the clock, that Nevada's going to get another touch, put them up by 4. Nevada goes down, hits a 3. Now it's a 1-point game. Now all you have to do is get the ball in bounds, and they weren't in the bonus, so Nevada had to foul quickly, and they were able to inbound it with, I think, 0.6 seconds left. Get the ball in. That was it. That was the end of the
all
game.
All she wrote.
That was it.
All right, let's do the top 6 and 6, and we'll tell you even more.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Show of hands, who wants more bad news from Washington or continue the Loyola story?
Loyola.
Loyola? Okay, Loyola. I thought so. Yeah, I thought you'd go that route. Loyola 69, Nevada 68. Loyola goes to its first Elite Eight since 1963, where, the danger is here. You face the powerful Kentucky Wildcats and the 5 freshmen. The danger here is that program is guaranteed to beat Kansas State. Kansas, what happened? Oh, Bruce Weber and Kansas State won?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, isn't this setting up delightfully? Kansas State's a good team.
That was like a home game for Kentucky, too.
Yeah, Kansas State rolled.
They did.
So, here's the deal. Loyola, Kansas State, where and when?
Is tomorrow. Well, same place, yeah, Atlanta.
That's just to keep building the drama.
Steve, that'll be tomorrow at Phillips Arena in Atlanta at 5:09 Central time.
5:09 Central.
5:09 Central.
That's actually good for me.
You're up. You're awake at that hour.
Yeah, that works for me. That's good. It's not a.m.? No, it's 5:09 p.m.
5:09 p.m. Oh, just after your nap.
Okay. 5:09. You know what? He's not wrong. 5:09 p.m. And we have a show tomorrow night. We have a stand-up comedy show at the Row, but that doesn't start until 8. We'll be able to see the entire game.
Game will be over by then. Yeah. Perfect.
Next, Quack Me. There you go. Loyola's looking to do another run of the Sister Jean bobblehead. Mm-hmm. Everything Sister Jean related has tremendous interest. They will now be selling these for $12,000 a piece.
That's right.
And they'll get it. So the new Sister Jean bobblehead will be done. How soon and where will it be available? Do we know? Do we know? Do we know? Have they released that information? We don't know yet. Okay, but we will let you know as soon as possible. Everyone wants a Sister Jean bobblehead. Mm-hmm.
Is she going to bless each one of them?
That's between Sister Jean and the bobblehead.
That would be nice.
Next. I have to go to the bad news in Washington right?
Oh, man.
President Trump dumped General McMaster yesterday in favor of John Bolton, who called the military action against North Korea, or who was called for military action against North Korea, and it said that South Korea should take over North Korea. Said the Iran nuclear deal is a massive strategic blunder, doesn't like the UN, and said that the entire email scandal and the hacking of the DNC and the RNC, the whole Mueller mess is basically government fraud.
And for those keeping track, yes, this is the third national security advisor.
In 14 months.
Yes.
Quack. Beijing announced today it's going to impose $3 billion worth of tariffs on American-produced goods. I mean, it sounds like we turned out okay there.
Oh, yeah.
$60 billion going the other way.
Yeah.
That's got to be just the beginning, though.
Obviously, it's retribution. The stock market loved that, too, by the way.
Yeah. One of the biggest, most precipitous point drops ever yesterday. Quack. Let's go live to Andrea now, where she has exciting news. Do you have exciting news on the Amazon information? Were you going to tell me about the Amazon information?
Oh, no. I was actually going to tell you something. The other thing was about, it was a Sister Jean thing, which I'll save for later. But
oh, that was a Sister Jean thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it. What's the other Sister Jean thing?
Do you want me to?
Tell me now.
But I have to go to Dubuque, Iowa for that.
Well, then we'll come back because obviously you're still here.
Okay.
Graffiti removals have spiked near the HQ2 sites. That are potential Amazon sites this week. Is Jeff Bezos come in for this? Does he actually look himself?
I don't think he does personally. I think he has people who do it, but specifically where they're talking about are by Finkel and Sons, you know, in the Lincoln Park area.
And they're scrubbing the graffiti?
They're scrubbing the graffiti. They have the graffiti blasters who are always out and about, but that area has been targeted and tagged, I should say.
They're like real estate stagers. They got to make sure things look just right when you come in.
Yeah, they scouted, Amazon scouted 5 of the 10 proposed sites this week.
Okay. And one more question. A group of Chicago public high schoolers will spend spring break in Puerto Rico helping rebuild the island. Isn't that a good story?
This is an awesome story. Their students, they're from...
8 of them?
They're from Lincoln Park High School, Jones College Prep, Noble, Chicago International Charter School, Northtown Academy, and Elmwood Park High School. And one student is already at Triton College. This is really cool.
Eight of these students, all friends from Storehouse Church in Portage Park, going with a church leader. They leave Sunday.
Yeah, and they each had their own little fundraiser, too, to raise the $1,000 to cover travel and lodging expenses.
And so they all got they all made it. Good story.
Uh-huh.
That's your top six. You want to be Lou's first caller, 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Andrea is on her way to Dubuque.
Yes.
312-981-7200. You could be the first caller to Lou Manfredini next.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
The intro to Lou's segment is 45 minutes long, but eventually we get to Lou, and we're glad we do, because you never know when he's going to just be daydreaming in the shower and forget he's on the air with us.
I apologize. What? I don't know what happened. What? I set my alarm.
This is last week when Lou forgot he was on the show.
I was in Dallas at the ACE convention, and I set my alarm, and I just, you know when you wake up and you're like, where am I? And I go, oh, I got to take a shower because I got to make this meeting at the convention center. And I'm in the shower, dee-dee-dee-dee, you know, shaving, doing my thing.
When did it occur to you that you would actually miss the segment?
Oh, after I completely dried off and I'm, like, combing my hair. You know, I've got a lot of it now. It takes a while.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I'm combing my hair. I'm like, son of a... And I walk over and I text
And you
Mary.
Saw 47 messages from Sandberg?
My phone was literally on fire.
Becoming more and more aggressive and angry each message.
Each text. Like you know how you can really read an attitude in a text message?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, she's not happy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no doubt. She'll sometimes call me and she goes, you know that email I sent you that you didn't read? I just want to tell you what's in it.
Right.
We're just glad you're okay.
We thought for Pat.
Listen, no, you're entirely reliable. So we just are glad you weren't a hostage.
Thank you.
Because we had a lot of money on hostage.
Well, you know, with March Madness, you never know. You got to put a bet down where you can put a bet down.
You never know. Right. Bob's in Joliet. Bob, what is your question for Lou?
Hi. I had my toilet flow got stuck in the downward position, so the water overflowed in the tank and the ceiling underneath on the first floor has got a yellow tint to it. Do I have to tear the drywall out, or can I just paint over it?
So it was fresh water, which is good. I would give it, you know, if it's been a week or so, and it's nice and dry, I'd give it at least a week. And if it recently just happened, put a little fan on there to dry it out. From there, use a, there's no insulation really up there. Once it dries out, you should have really no issue with mildew and mold. Make sure that it's solid. In other words, if you take a little screwdriver or something and you push at it, it's not soft. And once that's determined, take a little stain-killing primer like a Bullseye or a Kills right over the top of that. And the great thing about ceiling paint is that it's dead flat. You can usually touch up a ceiling in an area where you may have some staining, and it should blend in that you won't see any what's called flashing. If you use a paint that has a sheen to it, when you touch up, you get this phenomenon called flashing where you see the touch up. But with ceiling paint, you usually don't have an issue whatsoever.
And for being on the show, Bob from Joliet, you get an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minuteman, 855-955-HVAC. Let's say you have a friend whose name rhymes with Steve.
My friend Meave?
Yes, who hired a roofing contractor to put a new roof on his home, and everything appeared to go well. And also, part of that was a job to do a touch-up bit of work on the garage ceiling, where there was about a 1 by 1 foot area of black spots where there was a mold concern. And 6 months later, the black spots have returned. And there was a lot of cursing in the garage. By this guy who I don't know,
who may or may not be
Lou's friend, Meave. What do you do in a case like that?
Well, you know, if the black spots have returned, I'm assuming that the roofer went to go fix the area up above. That was the touch-up, not the actual... Did they do the painting on the...
No. Well, yeah, I mean, they did the painting touch-up, but, you know, my concern now is they just painted over the black spots.
Right. You know, 90% of the time when you have a roof leak, it's a flashing issue that's occurring, and so there might be something up on top of that roof that needs to yet again be inspected.
Mm-hmm.
If it's possible to poke your head up in the attic of that garage, I would, because if there's insulation up there, Meave, there's a problem if it's continuing to get wet. That's where the mildew and the mold can occur. And
so that insulation would need to be removed and replaced.
Yeah, probably should be removed, and then the area treated with, you hear me talk on Saturdays about a product called Fog U Mold, which is a really good mold killer that you can spray up there. But again, the leak needs to get fixed, and then once that's fixed, that black spot that you're talking about can be cleaned, spot primed, and then repainted again.
Well, you should tell your friend Meave that if you run into him.
I will. I'll call him.
All right. Any thoughts on Loyola and Sister Jean?
Oh, my gosh. I'm today on TV. You know, my oldest son, our oldest son, Quinn, graduated from Michigan. So I've got my Michigan Maize sweatshirt on this morning.
Uh-huh.
But I also have a Sister Jean scarf
A
hat. that I'm going to put on.
Do you have the blanket that she wears to keep herself?
She is my second favorite nun in the city of Chicago.
Who's your first?
Sister Rosemary.
Oh, at Misericordia.
Right.
Yeah.
She's my number one.
Why do you have to pit one nun against another?
Well, I mean, I don't know Sister Jean. I know Sister Connolly.
Was it a nun cage match with you?
Right. It's like MMA.
No, it's NMA.
Yeah. NMA nun.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great story.
I think it's the best story of the tournament and how this woman has been embraced. And as I was driving in this morning, you know, the digital billboards that are on the expressways?
Yeah.
Dave probably passes a bunch of them. There's one right at Wilson, and there was a giant digital image of Sister Jean in a basketball arena, you know, clapping her hands with her beautiful smile. And it said, pray, live, work. Go Ramblers.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. That's really
beautiful.
Very nice.
It was beautiful.
Do you have your dogs with you this morning as well?
I do not. I was going to. I actually thought about bringing Flo. She does have a Michigan sweater. But I got up this morning. She looked at me and she didn't even move her head.
I don't understand what you two are talking about.
Yeah.
It was a picture he posted last night on Twitter, I think.
That was my wife.
Oh.
Yeah, she's taking pictures of the dog.
We should let the audience.
My wife's a huge
let the audience catch up to the social media post we didn't see. Thank you, buddy.
Love you.
See you tomorrow. That's Lou. We love Lou, don't we?
Absolutely.
Sure, of course we do. Joe was just checking, making sure nothing had changed. Joe, Super Joe, what is your tie to Michigan?
I've always liked him. Grew
she's
up
just always
watching
been
him.
A University of Michigan fan.
Yeah.
I've been a Wolverine fan.
Yeah, I've been a Wolverine fan since I was a kid.
Okay. All right. Why is Sandberg mocking you?
I'm not sure. I know the Spartans are out, though, so maybe that's why she's laughing.
Yeah. The trash talk going on in the
She party. Actually does enjoy when Michigan State has trouble because she doesn't have to hear it at home from her husband.
Good point.
It's
like Michigan trash talk in that studio.
It is, right? Yeah. What an odd start to the show. 6:32. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
I'm friends with the monster.
Oh, he's a monster.
I'm sitting there tweeting.
Monster.
Big, big, big tweeting.
Monster. I love you. It's a guy, but I love you.
He's just the greatest. Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, the 1947 podcast and Meet the Press. Good morning, my friend.
Well, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am fine. Does it make you feel any better that Miami lost to a team that's going to the Great Eight now?
That's what I'm trying to tell my son. I told him, hey, at least we lost to a team that's still in the tournament. And at the end of the day, that's what you want. So, and, you know, and more importantly for this house, Mom's Florida State Seminoles are still alive. So,
right, so therefore you're still alive.
We're rooting for Mom's team. Exactly. So I can't be done yet, but, man, nobody bets against Sister Jean. Four points over three games. That's amazing.
It is crazy, and as you can imagine, the bandwagon's getting a little full here, but there's still room.
No, I love all these people that didn't go there that are all on board. Mike Wilbon, all these people go, oh, Loyola Chicago. Yeah, I remember. Oh, I used to drive past that school.
Yeah. I know where that is. What street?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So every time there's seriously disturbing or troubling news, it seems like the president finds something to distract, even if it's a really, really important decision. Any chance that's why Bolton got the gig yesterday?
You know, you're not the only one that has this theory that every time Stormy Daniels or another personal accuser is about to have a big moment. Last night it was an interview with the former Playboy model. The president makes his own news and creates his own weather. You know, I just don't know if the president's that strategic. I just think the president just doesn't fear and runs towards controversy, right? It doesn't bother him that as unsettling as all of this seems to everybody else, he's just fine, you know. And I think we see the emerging pattern with the president, and it's all connected, whether it's his new lawyer, whether it's his new national security advisor, which is this: he's looking for people that will give him the advice he wants. That's the bottom line.
Right?
And he hired John Bolton to be his Iran guy. And by the way, once they finish confronting Iran, and we may never finish confronting Iran, but once they do, Bolton might do something, and the president would be like, no, you know, and then get on his bad side. But in the president's mind, he's my rip-up-the-Iran-deal guy. Hire him.
I think we all remember the great Doris Kearns Goodwin book, A Team of People I Saw on TV.
Right.
The president continues to hire people on TV. We don't know if Pat Sajak's going to get a cabinet position anytime soon. But should we be...
Have you ever followed Chuck Woolery on Twitter?
Right.
We could get hired. Maybe not Sajak, but Woolery could.
That's a great point. Chuck is far right, much farther right than Pat. Having said all that, should we be seriously concerned about the fact that he's surrounding himself with yes men?
Yeah. If you're concerned about this presidency, yes. It's never good for any president to have all of his gut instincts confirmed by everybody sitting around him. But, you know, he didn't like the advice he was getting from his lawyers, so he brings in new lawyers. He didn't like the advice he was getting from his national security team, so he get a new national security team. That's a way to do this, but it's a way to find trouble. Once you start down this road, it's hard to pull back. It's hard to pull back from from a confrontation with Iran. It'll be hard to pull back from a confrontation with North Korea.
Okay, who's next, Chuck? Because I thought Ben Carson would be before McMaster. My scorecard's all out the window. My White House bingo.
Yeah, I think, my favorite story yesterday was the idea that he was going to be his own chief of staff, get rid of Kelly and everybody would report directly to him. Yeah. Which, by the way, I think that's the next... I don't think that's an unlikely scenario. By the way, the last president that tried that was Jimmy Carter, and how did that presidency turn out?
Not great.
The last micromanaging president we had was Jimmy Carter. Remember, he fired his whole cabinet over a weekend. That's what you get.
We're going to quickly run out of time here. We invite you to make sure that Chuck Todd is on Sunday morning. We meet the press in the last 30 seconds here. It's Friday. We usually get big news on Friday. You're standing by, I assume?
What's left? Right. Yes, I know. I don't know what's not, but yesterday we started a trade war, started the beginnings of what could be a military confrontation with Iran. And we heard the president accused of being in love with some other woman. That's Thursday.
You're right. How do you beat it?
What more could I have? That was Thursday. How do you beat that?
Chuck, thank you. We'll see you Sunday.
You got it. All right.
It's Chuck Todd from Meet the Press in a special Friday before school edition. That's the deal. Everybody is numb to all of this, but as the world spins, the president of the United States yesterday started a global trade war that took action that caused the stock market to drop 700 points. And witness to an interview with a woman that he clearly must have had an affair with last night, and fired his national security advisor and replaced him with a guy he likes on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's one day.
Right.
One day.
Do you think he'll be
one day?
Do you think he'll be his own chief of staff? Because I don't think that's too far-fetched.
No, I don't either. The Chuck Woolery reference that Chuck Todd made was Chuck Woolery, the original host of Wheel of Fortune, is a way right conservative who does a lot of trolling on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, and we'll clear all of it. We'll clear it all up, all of it. All right. We have just a second here because we're going to come back and get the Hawks replay. We're going to do a Hawks replay a little different today because we've had plenty of bad news from the Hawks this year and this season as the season winds down. Mm-hmm. We had some good news last night on the Hawks. So we'll play that in the replay instead when we come back. But, John, where will you and I be tomorrow night, you and your new knee?
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. My knee is making its comedy debut tomorrow night in Crystal Lake at the Ralph Theater, one of our favorite theaters.
Yeah.
8 o'clock show tomorrow night. You, me, Tim Banker, Mike Toomey from WGN-TV in the morning. Stand-up comedy. Just fun. Just come out and laugh.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Going to be a good time. A lot of laughs. You can actually watch Loyola beat Kansas State and then join us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the first few minutes of the show, we're going to do a complete reenactment of the NCAA tournament so far.
Exactly.
Live on stage.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He'll test the old knee.
Old
knee.
Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. In the middle of a terrible string at the United Center last night, with the Hawks losing again. We don't need to replay the bad news of the Hawks losing. How about some good news about Eddie Olczyk? Listen.
Well, I'm proud to say that I did have my final scan after the chemo treatment, Pat, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and you, my partner and my friend, that all the cancer is gone, and we beat this thing. And I say we because it has been a team effort, not only from the great doctors, but from this organization, from Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Jay Blunt, Coach Q, hockey operations, these great trainers, our broadcasters, you partner for all the texts and the visits daily, the National Hockey League, all my friends and my family, my brothers, Ricky and Randy, my mom and dad, and of course, my four kids, Eddie, Tommy, Sandra, Nikki, and my beautiful wife, Diana. If it wasn't for them, there's no way I could have got through this, so I believe is that we all beat this, and I'm so thankful for all the support and prayers, and they worked, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and let them know that we beat this thing, and I've had enough crying to last me a lifetime, partner, and I'm just so excited that, you know, I got that call on March 14th, at 5.07 p.m., letting me know that my scans were clear, and never heard a better phrase in my life, and I'm now, 10 days on with the rest of my life, and that's the way I'm looking at it.
Out of the way, baby.
It's Eddie Olczyk. We love Eddie, and we've known Eddie forever, and he is a great Chicago story. But for him to be as inspirational as he's been for everybody else and to play out publicly his story of fighting cancer is an awfully brave thing to do and a wonderful thing. Wonderful news. So, you know, where's your microphone? Hold on a second.
Never a doubt. He said from day one he was going to beat it, and he did.
Yeah.
And we love him.
And here's the deal. The Blackhawks season started with Eddie having cancer and us hearing about it, and we never seemed to get out from under the cloud of troubling news for the first time in 10-plus years with the Blackhawks where we've had nothing but good news. Yes. Maybe this is the start of, you know, a brand new Blackhawks day.
Yes, it
is. We wrapped this season up. We got the news on Eddie last night. Why not good news now?
That's right.
You're right.
He could have kept this private.
Yeah.
And certainly nobody would have blamed him for that.
Sure.
But the fact he went public to try to inspire others, and Pat Foley made the point last night, he went and got a colonoscopy. Other Troy Murray did. Other people around the Blackhawks. And they can thank Eddie Olczyk for that.
I got three.
Yeah, well,
I kept going back.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just to make sure.
I said, okay, you might have missed something. Try it again.
And did they say, please stop coming back?
Yeah, they said, seriously, we've seen enough of you. And by the way, we've seen enough of you. Good for you, Eddie. We love you.
Congratulations.
It's a minute after 7.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Lord, yeah, you see what Joe's doing here? A little bit of rambling, man. Everybody loves Sister Jean, but the original mascot was the Rambler. And the Rambler, Dave, was a hobo.
A hobo.
A drifter.
Yes.
A ne'er-do-well who went from town to town shooting threes. We believe we have tracked down the original mascot, and we'll hear from him later.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The original hobo.
And by the way, Sister Jean isn't really a mascot. They said they have the Rambler wolf now.
I think she is the greatest mascot of all time.
She's a booster. I mean, she's a great booster and team chaplain.
How about this?
I wouldn't call
her. Is the word you're looking for a mascot?
Good luck charm.
Revered symbol.
There. Well, no, that's... Now you're confusing...
I think she's revered.
I think she's a
revered symbol. Oh, she's definitely revered, but yeah, I think you're coming up with a term from your past.
When I say mascot, Dave, I don't mean she's going to bite someone's head like...
like the San Diego Chicken?
Yeah, or Tommy Hawk.
Or like Willie the Wild Cat.
That's what I wanted to make sure. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Chris Bowden will join us in just a second. Couple of things from the text line at 312-981-7200. Somebody's listening to Walter Jacobson's commentary yesterday about how we're stuck with Mike Madigan now, and they're looking for some perspective on Walter's perspective. We are stuck with Mike Madigan only if those in the State House vote for Mike Madigan to continue to be Speaker next January. Mm-hmm. There is still a chance he may lose the Democratic Party leadership for the state of Illinois. That's the main fundraising job this fall. We're not stuck with Mike Madigan. Mm-hmm. We're only stuck with Mike Madigan if the people that are elected or the people in the general that would like to be elected, continue to vote for Mike Madigan. So don't lose faith. If you'd like to get rid of Mike Madigan, do not lose faith. Just support candidates who are willing to stand up to Mike Madigan in the November election. The other question that came up yesterday is, how can President Trump just arbitrarily say China now owes us $60 billion? The powers of the president include the ability to implement tariffs. And in this case, and I'll be honest with you, I don't entirely disagree. I agree with the fact that there ought to be a more level playing field, and I agree with the fact that China have been a whole bunch of criminals when it comes to, in particular, stealing intellectual property. However, when you try to get it all back at one time, you're asking for trouble, and the stock market doesn't like it, and a lot of money went out the window yesterday. So it could be done in different ways, but I'm not the president. Donald Trump is. Let that sink in. At 7:15, Chris Bowden is with us. We love Chris. Chris done such a great job, and I know he's playing hurt now. What do you have, the flu? What's the matter? What's wrong with you? I heard you last night. You sound sick.
Yeah, it's, I have a cold or a sore throat in like 3 years. And wouldn't you know it, just as we're ready to get to, ready to do this high school game tomorrow, it strikes. So I will ask yours and especially Dave Bennett's tips on how to flush this out very quickly.
Are you a coldies guy? Do you like coldies? Coldies always works for me. Coldies, those zinc lozenges. And it doesn't cure the cold, but it does help with your throat, your ability to speak, and it also limits the symptoms. I'd suggest do a bag of coldies every hour.
I'll try it.
That's
try
a lot
it.
Of zinc,
that is
Steve.
A lot of
I don't
zinc.
Know.
That might be too much.
Such
zinc.
A good idea.
Maybe I just need to call Sister Jean, maybe.
That's what you need. Chris Bowden and Saturday's high school hockey championships at the United Center tomorrow. You know, Chris, I don't know if you know this. Mary Sandberg, Boyle, Comcast, Sportsnet, NBC, zippity doo dah day. You've been to this game, Sandberg?
I have. What?
How many times? Hold on, let me get you a mic that works.
Hello,
there you go.
Hello. I went 3 years in a row, 2013, 14, and 15. One of my best friend's sons, Jack Youngie, was the goalie for New Trier Green.
Is it fun?
They won the first 2 years. They did not. Semifinals. They lost in the semifinals in 2015. It's amazing. If you have a young kid that plays hockey, you should go watch these high school kids play at the United Center. The United Center does it right. Not surprising. They have the video board on and things.
Well, the Blackhawks get behind us 100%.
Oh yeah, and they're like, it's a real game. You're up there. It's like, it feels like a real game. You can get a little closer, you know. And sure. the play is so good, and the kids, it's so the other students are there, so it's like very passionate.
Yeah, so
it's
you get all the fire of kids who are playing just for the love of sport, and you get to get a little bit closer to see it, Chris. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just an energetic atmosphere. And the big surprise this year, you know, Mary mentioned Nutria Green. They've won 6 of the last 9. They also had a second-place finish over that course. And they got knocked out in the quarterfinals. So this is, you know, a couple of fresh teams in Stevenson and Loyola Gold, which has always been a contender. But they haven't won a state title since 1996. And so they're hungry.
If you ever go to a Loyola game, by the way, that is that their regular home games are crazy. Yeah.
Well, I would think having the name Loyola this weekend wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, we get some bios from these kids ahead of time, little Q&A, and all of them say your best hockey experience. They all answered, it's coming up this weekend on Saturday at the United
States. That's very cool. It's very cool. Now, what time are you doing this?
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, and we should go till about 5 o'clock or so, barring any overtime. My voice will hope for that too, and then that'll lead right up into the pregame for Blackhawks on 5:30 on the radio. So,
and then Chris will be in the hospital sometime around 10.
So are you going to come back here from the United Center between like 5 and 5:30?
We're going to do the pregame from the United Center.
Good idea.
Then I'll race back over there. So, NBC Sports Chicago, I'll be on with Jamal Mayers, Layla Rahimi, who covered the women's hockey team in South Korea, the gold medal winning team. Kendall Coyne will be there as well. So it's going to be a fun afternoon.
And definitely when you're on your deathbed from a killer cold, plan about 8 hours of work.
Yeah.
You know, 8 or 10 on a Saturday. Now, don't talk for the rest of the day. to anyone.
That's the plan.
Fire up the shower. I don't know if you have a small bedroom or bathroom in your house where you could fire up the shower and get a whole bunch of steam going. Do the coldies. Yeah. Dave, tea, I'm told.
Tea
as
and
well.
Honey. I was going to say hot tea and honey.
Right. All of those things.
That's already been started for a while now. So hopefully we can flush this thing out and I'll sound a little better tomorrow.
Yeah, no, you sound, you sound terrible. No, you're going to be fine tomorrow.
Chris, when's the last time you did hockey play-by-play?
Now, that would be zero. That would be zero times. So that even adds to the interest here. But you know what? I'll be leaning on Jamal a whole lot. He's the expert here.
You'll be, you've done everything. You'll be great.
Oh, there's no question. I just want to hear some.
Obviously, it's a little better TV-wise where you don't necessarily have to do the great job that John does describing every little play and every little movement. You know, we can let the pictures tell a lot of the story.
No, I want to hear some vitaminisms in there.
Yeah, can you imagine Chris with his voice? If it doesn't get better tomorrow, he'll just go puck, shoot, score. It'll be like you're ordering fast food with a broken speaker.
That's right. Sit back and enjoy and watch the game and don't listen to me, folks.
You'll see why the Blackhawks have so much fun with this high school hockey championships and why they put all the efforts and resources behind it. So, Chris, have fun tomorrow, and I hope you feel better, bud.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. A high school hockey championship game tomorrow. Hard to go against a team that has Loyola in its name.
No. Not right now.
Seems like the week. We have Blackhawks San Jose Sharks tickets in the final week of the season, and you can win them when we come back.
Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. And get your Blackhawk tickets, yeah.
John DeCoste survived knee surgery and has rejoined us for the first time in studio. Somebody just texted and said they'd be willing to come to the stand-up comedy show we're doing tomorrow night at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake if you sing.
If I sing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll sing
tomorrow? I'll sing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll sing.
All right. So
whatever it takes to get people in
so
there.
So where do they need to get tickets?
Oh, they need to go to RouseCenter.org, which is their website, or you can call their box office directly at 815-356-9212, and it is just all laughter and fun.
I will, I'll see your you'll sing promise, and I'll up it to this. I won't rap. So you'll sing, and I won't rap. That seems like incentive to come.
If you're not going to rap, then I will not be there.
Well, no, you've got to come, because you are a part of the show.
Well, I will sing, and then I will run away. I can run now, because I have a new knee.
John's old knee is being sent to the studio here. We're going to give it away.
Yes.
We're going to give your old knee away to the seventh caller later in the
seventh
show.
Caller gets my old knee.
So if anybody would like a painful 58-year-old knee...
Yes.
58-year-old knee. Painful arthritic.
Actually, technically 59.
An arthritic-ridden, painful 59-year-old knee. We'll give that away later in the show.
How great is that? Huh? You just can't get those anywhere.
It's the kind of giver we are. You're going to read a riddle that you've written. And the first correct answer at 312-981-7200 as to whom this might be, a famous Chicagoan, is going to get tickets for San Jose and your Chicago Blackhawks. Ready, go.
This one should be easy. From Eureka College in 32, born where they make John Deere tractors brand new, a Dutch boy who called Cubs games on the wire, after acting commander-in-chief, nothing higher.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
All right. First correct answer, 312-981-7200. Let me go live to Dubuque now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Andrea is standing by.
Yes. But I'm looking over there.
No.
Just pretend it's Dubuque.
Oh, my God. I didn't even see Dubuque. Yeah.
Steve, I am fresh from the viewing party last night of the BVMs.
What are the BVMs?
Who are the BVMs are? Retired nuns. Sisters of the Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, about 180 retired members. They call themselves the BVMs. They have watch parties now for their number one person they're cheering on, Sister Jean.
Sister.
S-I-S-T-U-H. They call her Sista, and they have not only the Sister Jean bobblehead, they have a little shrine to her. Watching every game, they say they stop playing puzzles. You know, they
have puzzle night.
They have puzzle night. One is called the Lord's Blessing. They said that there's 500 pieces still astray from the puzzle, but they don't care. They're pushing that off to the side, and they like watching Sister Jean, aside her little bobblehead on that shrine. They have a cherry pitter from the 1850s, a butter mold, and a shoemaking kit also from the 1800s when the order set up camp in that very location in Dubuque.
Okay, so that's good for them, but do any of those items have anything to do with Loyola?
Absolutely not.
Okay, all right, so it's just their thing.
They're just up just there on thing. The little okay. shrine with yeah. the sister head, or sister head, the sister Jean bobblehead.
Yes, sister head is a band.
From 2011. The reason
sister
being,
though, Jean.
They want new bobbleheads, Steve.
Well, good for them.
Yes.
It's a good story.
Yes.
Sister Jean is, I mean, she's a rock star coast to coast.
Yes, she is.
I'm telling you. All right, let's go to Mary Lynn now.
Oh, Mary, can I come back from Dubuque?
Yeah, we'll report from there.
Okay, live from Dubuque. I'm me.
Okay.
For you.
I'm me.
For you.
Mary Lynn, do you have the answer to the riddle?
I believe it's who is Ronald Reagan.
That is correct. I like the fact that you put it in the form of a question.
I know. I like Jeopardy, that. That yeah. was wonderful.
Congratulations. Tickets to see the Hawks in San Jose. And you might get four season tickets because you're entered courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Who are you going to bring to the game, Mary Lynn?
Well, I'm thinking my son and I will go.
Very nice.
That's good.
I'm so excited. This is so thrilling.
It's going to be fun, Mary Lynn. Thank you for listening very much. I hope you have a great weekend. All right, so you just got back from Dubuque. How did you find the travel?
Oh, fantastic. They are partiers. They had popcorn set up and everything.
Did you take Route 20? Isn't that nice how pretty it is on the way back?
Absolutely.
It's very hilly.
Very hilly.
That's the route I took. Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's very
coming back through Freeport?
Yeah.
By the pretzels. Stopped and got some pretzels.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, yeah. Stagecoach Trail.
Super Joe, have you updated our ridiculously awful brackets after last night's play?
Yeah, there was just a few games left, or played last night, so.
Okay, so we'll find time to go over those as well, and we'll find out who sucks the most as we go from the top to the bottom to the top in the brackets.
Questions irrelevant this year. Oh. Everybody's brackets
let's
are
just drop it.
So much. No,
there's got to be a winner and losers.
Mm-hmm. Keyword being winner.
There's a winner and six losers.
We're all winners, thanks to Loyola.
Wow. Yeah,
okay. Sister Jean is listening going, what a load of crap that is.
Right. You're not invited to the viewing party with the BBMs.
We will come back and play Match Game.
Yes.
Coming up. So if you'd like to get on hold for that, 312-981-7200, and you'll see the Match Game live here performed in a way that has never been done before. Really, really, really terribly. 312-981-7200. Back with the headlines next. Match Game contestants Steve and Christina standing by. John's here. He of the new knee. Would you recommend knee surgery?
Oh, yes. Yes. Even if your knee isn't bad.
I mean, it went really well for you.
It really did.
John was telling me a story. He said that he's at a point in his rehab. And by the way, good for your knee for sticking with rehab. A lot of people bail. Yes. But he's at a point in his rehab where his knee is supposed to bend at, I think he said 85%. The therapist came over with the protractor. Your knee bent at how far?
126.
126%. You have an exceptional knee.
I do, but keep in mind it is made out of chocolate.
Have you been doing knee yoga?
Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Is that a problem when it gets
knee
warm?
Yogurt. It is a little bit, but I think that's why it's so flexible.
Steve, Christina, hold on just a second. We have to point out how terrible our brackets are before we play a terrible round of Match Game.
John used to be really humble before he got this new knee.
I know. He's a completely
since he's
different
gotten this
person.
Knee, all he's done is brag.
She's
your
right.
knee,
you'll
be
She's
honest,
absolutely right.
Be honest, your knee has changed you.
Mm-hmm. It really has.
Yeah, it has.
I
really
kind of like it.
Yeah. In last place, Mary Vandeveld with 25 picks, less than half correct. Mary?
Why would any of this change?
Wah, wah.
We've only had two games. Of course I'm still in last place.
25 picks.
I mean, I'm not going to get any better.
Of your final two, Mary, have faith. Xavier is out, but Villanova's still in.
Yes, they're going to win it all.
All right.
Or Loyola.
Second to last place, Sandberg. Sandberg, I don't like your chances. 27 for 52. You had Arizona, Michigan State in the title game. They're both out.
My husband did my bracket. I just want to say.
Dave, sports expert that you are, you're in fifth place.
Poor Dave.
Knowledge is a curse.
28 correct. You know, this time of this tell you something about the one half of the bracket being so screwy. Competitive, well-picked brackets and a good portion of it's luck, at this point would have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of the 52 games, about 40, mm-hmm. 40 correct answers. Mm-hmm. You'd be somewhere in the 80% range.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're not. Dave, you have 28 correct so far. Yep. Your final, Virginia, Michigan State. Don't like their chances.
No,
they're both
I think
out.
They're in trouble.
Yes.
Poor Dave.
Super Joe, 29 of 52. Joe, you're in fourth place. So you're actually tied with me for third. Joe, you have Michigan State, Michigan. Michigan's still in.
What's up?
Yeah. Michigan could do it.
Some kid on the
Michigan. Hey, does anybody else have their champion still in? Or can
I do.
Is that?
Yeah.
And I'm in last place.
Last place.
Yeah.
I get to the winner's.
So I could still win?
Yeah, you could still win.
Wow. One of the kids on the Michigan team, he said after he made some shot, he felt chills up and down his body. Thought that was a weird comment.
Maybe he's getting the flu.
That's possible. It could be the flu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Super Joe and Mary are the only ones whose champion is still in.
Yes.
I am 29 for 52. Two of my final four remaining. My championship game, however, is Duke Xavier. Duke's still in, but I have them losing to Xavier.
Well, let me just say this. I joined today and just picked out. I'm all 16 of mine are in.
That's fantastic, okay. Considering we're in the eight.
Yes.
My mom, 31 of 52, she's in second place. But again, she should be, considering she's a numbers runner for the mob.
Yeah. Knows her stuff.
Two of her four final fours remaining. She has Villanova losing to Virginia. Yeah. Virginia's out. Villanova's still in. And you're leading still.
Yes, I know. I'm excited. I don't want to brag, but...
Yeah, you don't want to brag.
30... She's doing her champions dance now.
Oh, sorry. Did that play?
35 for 52. One of your four is still remaining in the final four. However, you have Michigan State and North Carolina in the final.
It's okay.
They're both out.
It was my Pat Boyle tribute and my...
It's all very, very
Michael
sad.
Jordan
Pat
tribute.
Appreciates it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Steve first as we play the match game. Steve, say hi to the host, John DeCoste, and his new knee.
Good morning, John. I hope that knee is on the block for today.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much. You know how to play the game, yes?
I do.
Good. Here we go. And don't give me your answer until I ask for it. And I'll make sure that all of our celebrities have theirs in. Here we
By
go.
By the way, we have too many celebrities. We on this show actually have eight celebrities.
Eight celebrities
Normally
today?
Normally it's six, yeah.
Okay. Who? Okay.
Got it.
Okay. That's here good. We go. John, Mary, and Dave had dinner together at Lou Malnati's.
Okay.
But John thought he was having dinner at Lou Blank's.
Okay. Stand by. Remember, your answer does not have to be in the form of the question, but it must contain three prepositions.
Yes.
So hold on if you can.
Yes. John and Mary and Dave had dinner together at Lou Malnati's, but John thought they were having dinner at Lou Blank's.
All right.
My celebrities in? Everybody upstairs as well?
Yeah.
And, yes, your answer on the phone, please.
You know, I have to go with another great Chicago classic, Lou Mitchell's.
Lou Mitchell's.
Oh, that's a good answer.
That is a good one.
I didn't even think about that one.
I really wish I'd thought of that.
That's a hair salon, right?
Dang. That's a pancake place.
That's a pancake place. That's what I meant.
Breakfast.
That's what I meant. Here, let's go around the room. Dave Ennett.
Ferrigno's.
Lou Ferrigno's.
Wait, I've got a match with Dave.
Oh, yes. Oh, I like that.
Me too.
Okay. Sandberg, I don't think you understand how the game is played.
Mary, you too?
Yeah, me too. Me, Mary, up three matches.
That was hysterical. Upstairs also?
Yep, right over here, too.
Holy cow.
And Joe, it's Super Joe.
Four Ferrigno's.
Oh, man.
Wow, he should open up his own place. Andre, yes?
I had, as a tribute to you for your new knee and your workout, I had Lululemons.
Oh,
you look good
one.
In some Lululemons.
Not how
you look
it's spelled.
In spandex.
Yeah.
I did it.
It's not terrible.
Phonetic.
Is it not bad? I don't know what Lululemons are.
Terrible is this. Lou Manfredini's.
Okay. That was what I was thinking when the answer came in.
Why? Because he cooks? Oh, yeah, he's Mr. Fix.
And I did say Lou Mitchell, so he's got one match.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
Nicely done. All right. Steve. Like Steve, in the history of our match game, one is a really comfortable lead. Hold the line if you can.
Four Ferrigno's.
That's amazing.
Didn't match him, though.
Four Ferrigno's is a new hamburger joint that just opened up.
Hi, welcome to Four Ferrigno's.
Hey, Christina.
Hey there.
Christina, you're in Crystal Lake, so I'm sure you're going to be at our show tomorrow night at the Row.
Well, I really want to come hear John sing now, so I might have to get some tickets.
Oh, you are going to come anyway? Because, Christina, I'm going to give you tickets to the show.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Oh, yes, please. That would be wonderful.
She's not going.
Yes,
she's
not going.
She's still not going.
Listen,
she's
this.
Like, it's just too no, far
hold on,
to go.
Hold on, hold on.
It's too far to go.
Hold on. Christina, I'm going to give you tickets to the show. What are the chances you're going to show up?
Wow. My babysitter for the weekend just retired yesterday, which is my father. So he's going on vacation, and I don't know that I'd...
Yeah, how old are your kids?
she's 6 months old.
I can watch her.
Oh, you do, that is a baby.
I can watch her. There's a nice big green room at the Row. I can watch
isn't
her.
Isn't it an all-ages show?
Perfect.
Yes.
Bring the baby.
Yes.
She just wants to be invited.
Yes.
And you can place her on
and maybe not show up.
Yes. And Christina, just, you know, this is what happens. Just everybody does their own show now. So let's ask the question.
And the nice thing is we both have bibbinis.
I tell you what, Christina, the next time you do a show, I'll show up too.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Here we go, Christina. Hang on to your answer until I ask for it. When Andrea asked directions on how to get to Dubuque, Iowa, she said, "Oh, my, it's called Dubuque? I thought it was called Da Blank." This music is... I love that. I love Mary. What? Wait, what? By the way, I got a really nice Get Well card for Mary and her husband, Steve.
Kind of funny, wasn't it?
It was very funny.
Was there
and
money
I
in
cannot
it?
Think of it.
By the way,
I don't want to
criticize John's questions, but I think the medication is still affecting him.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I would say that I just found out about this 4 seconds before you mentioned it. So, here we go. Here we go. I will repeat it again.
Yes.
When Andrea asked for directions to Iowa to how to get to Dubuque, she said, "Oh, the city is called Dubuque. I thought it was Da Blank." Christine.
I'm
going to
say
the
Bears.
The Bears. Mm. Very good. Mm. Very good. Okay, let's go around the room.
Hey, Christina, Dave did Bennett? I mention I got you tickets for tomorrow night's show?
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited.
Yes.
You could bring the baby. Okay, here we go.
Bring the baby, yes.
Bring the baby. Yes, Dave?
The Bears.
The Bears, yes! Look at that.
1-1.
How about...
1-1. Next one's the winner.
Andrea?
Da Bears.
Da Bears.
There's the winner right there,
Holy
Christina.
Cow.
Not only have you won tickets to a show you have no intention of attending, you've also won other prizes.
We're giving you a ton more tickets now. Steve.
Da Butt.
Oh, good.
Da Butt.
Yeah, Da Butt.
Da Butt.
Da Butt.
I like that. Mary Sandberg, yes?
Da Ham.
Da Ham. Da Ham. I like Da Ham.
Hold on a second. Wait.
Picture of a ham.
Dubuque.
But why Da Ham?
Isn't that the name of a ham?
Okay. Could someone listen to the host for a second?
Yes.
Da Ham. Why Da Ham?
Dubuque, a name of a ham company?
That's what we're singing. Dubuque.
No, she's right. That's good.
Yeah,
right.
That doesn't
that
make it
right.
any better.
Catherine and Patrick eat a lot of ham, so I have a lot of ham knowledge.
Good stretch.
That's good. It was the dancing ham.
Joe in the booth?
DeFerrigno.
I knew he was going to. That was good, Joe.
That's
upstairs, Mary?
I kind of got confused. I said Des Moines. Like, does Des Moines?
That's not bad.
You know?
Yeah, Des Moines.
Like Des Moines. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not bad.
That's pretty bad.
Steve? They're both in Iowa.
That's true. No,
and
that's a good
Steve?
Point. That's good.
All right. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate you.
He's not at his desk.
Appreciate your participation.
But she wins. Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Definitely wins. Wonderful.
Right. Sandberg, what am I giving her?
Apt gift card.
Apt gift card.
I bet she goes to Apt.
Yeah, that's going to be great. ABT.com. That's for my friend Steve Shapiro.
And a gift certificate to Lou Ferrigno's.
And no, but Lou Malnati's.
Oh, Lou Malnati's.
Yes, Lou Malnati's Pizza. And I didn't tell you this, Christina. I hope you're sitting down. Tickets to the Cochran Comedy Tour tomorrow night in Crystal Lake.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. That is...
Oh, she's so good.
Yeah, whatever. Hold on.
Oh, I'm very proud of you, Christina.
What's coming up, Steve? A couple of minutes before 8 o'clock, Dean Richards is off today. Kelty Knight from Entertainment Tonight is going to give us a little bit of show business news. And then, we have tracked down the original Rambler, the mascot from Loyola of Chicago. And nobody's seen or heard from him in quite some time.
Is this the former, the student who portrayed the actual Rambler?
The Rambler.
The Rambler?
The Rambler that was the inspiration for the school's nickname.
Wow.
Do you remember the original logo?
Oh, sure.
It's a guy with a bottle of Mad Dog 2020.
Well, not quite.
Oh, that wasn't it. No. But a Rambler meaning a hobo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So that's coming up as well. All right. What do I need to do? Another break?
Are we that popular? We need another break? Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel. Thanks to all the sponsors on this show. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dean is in where? New York? I think he said New York. He was complaining about weather. He'll be back next week. We are lucky, very fortunate, to have Kelty Knight, our friend from Entertainment Tonight, join us to give us a little bit of show business. But I guess, Kelty, I'd rather just talk about you. And here's why.
You're the best.
Here's why, Kelty. I looked at your Instagram, and I couldn't tell if you were more excited about your good hair day or your Emmy nomination.
Oh, you're so sweet. I was more excited about my good hair day, obviously. They're so rare in this business, and I have to go on national television every night and show my hair to the world. So when a good hair day comes, it's like a, you know, juggernaut. But yes, we are so excited for ET, and it's my third Emmy nomination, so thanks so much. And
look at you.
Fifth consecutive for the show, yeah.
Look at you. All right, let me ask the women on the show. Andrea, good hair day or winning lottery ticket?
Oh, winning lottery ticket. Hands down.
Good hair day, close second?
Yes.
Okay. Mary Vandeveld, good hair day or no traffic?
I'm going no traffic.
But good hair day, close second?
Yeah. I only care about my hair between 9 and 10 for CLTV.
And Sandberg seems to be indicating good hair day or I'm number one. I can't tell. There's a finger involved.
I think good hair day.
It's odd. All right, Kelty, what's making show business news today?
Well, we have very exciting royal news. The royal wedding invitations have been sent out officially. Now, I just sat down with Rod Stewart, and he said, Sir Rod Stewart, He said he hadn't been invited. And last month I sat down with Elton John, and he said he hadn't been invited. But I'm thinking it was just because the invitations had not gone out. Kensington Palace tweeted a picture of the beautiful invitations. Of course, 600 guests will be invited to the ceremony at St. George's Chapel. But then get this. Then there's only a select 200 people invited to the reception that's hosted by Prince Charles afterwards. So 200 people when you're royals is a pretty small reception,
yeah,
in my opinion, right? The really cool fact about the invites is that they're made on a machine from the 1930s, one at a time, and it's just a very beautiful tradition. So very cool.
Well, think about this. When you get married, all the discussions you have about who you invite, who you don't invite, who the parents invite, who they don't invite, now you're the royal family. All right, you look at the queen. Mom, you only get four. You get four. Because normally everybody that goes to the wedding gets to go to the reception. Now you're invited to the wedding, which is a great honor, but you're not going to the reception unless you're one in three.
No, it is. I mean, that is tight. And there's a lot. You know, you have to remember, and the thing I thought when I was sitting down with Elton John was Elton and Princess Diana were so close. So obviously, you know, they would invite him because he was so close with Diana. But now it seems like they're being a little Hunger Games about it with this guest list. My goodness. So we'll have to see who is going to come.
Kelty, I have to ask you this, and it's going to sound kind of tongue-in-cheek, maybe like a joke, but do they register?
Oh, that'd be cool if they were like at London's Bed Bath and Beyond.
Right? Or like Target?
I know. I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't know what they do. I can't imagine they do because I think they get everything just because they're royals. Because they also announced, showed a picture yesterday of the place setting that will be at the wedding. And, you know, they commissioned special china for these things. And so they have their own china with their gold leaf. So I feel like, I mean, you know, but everyone needs one of those like scrub daddies, you know, so where are they going to get their scrub daddy?
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Like, Megan likes to cook. She needs a pot set.
That's exactly right. At Bed Bath & Beyond, you go there today, you'll see Harry and Megan's registry. It's
everyone
really
needs
touching.
A good butter dish.
A butter dish. And what's that? The grill daddy as well.
Yeah, the grill daddy.
The grill daddy, sure, yeah. With a squirting thing on it. All right. What else is show business news today?
Well, we're very excited. We just talked to Paris Hilton. I don't know if you guys are Paris Hilton fans. I really think she's fabulous. But she's talking about her wedding, too. And we're all wondering, you know, will Nicole Richie, her Simple Life co-star of the past, be invited? And Paris said, no, no, no. All the girls are invited. Britney Spears is coming. Nicole Richie is coming. She's so excited. She's going to throw a big extravaganza. So it's going to be, you know, harder to get into the royal wedding than Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton's probably going to have a ton of people.
My executive producer, Sandberg, these women that she's referencing, these are women of your youth. Are you going to this?
I am not going, but I need to know, Kelty, did you ask to try on her ring?
Oh my God, I saw the ring in person. I didn't try it on because I don't know, is that bad luck? Also, I was scared because I don't want to have that money on my finger. Like, I'm not insured for that level. I can't afford that ring if I lose it by accident in my 5 seconds.
Is it as big as it looks in the pictures?
It's bigger than it looks because the whole pear-shaped diamond, that's all diamond. Like, that's no fluff. There's no fluff around it to fill it out. It's a giant diamond. And what's so crazy is the bottom of the pear, the fat part of the pear, it's over her finger size. Oh, so it's like, it's spilling over onto middle finger and pinky finger.
So in other words, it's what you'd wear to the gym. You know, it's what you'd wear to yoga.
Casual.
Yeah.
Just casual.
See, this is the thing I don't understand. I think back to Julia Roberts married a cameraman, mm-hmm. a movie cameraman.
Yes, Danny Motor.
And occasionally you see that. You see a woman who is quite wealthy who marries mm-hmm. a man who isn't. So did she say, I'd like this ring and here's my money? You know what I'm saying? So who is she marrying that she can afford the diamond ring? Paris Hilton's fiance I'm talking about.
Right. Well, listen, let's be honest. They probably have a family jeweler and who got an Instagram shout out. So they probably even pay for the ring.
That's a fair point.
Let's be real. You know what I mean? Secondly, when you're that rich, it all just becomes your thing. She's marrying this guy, Chris Zilka. And here's the thing. I did not believe this. I thought this is fake. It's not a real relationship. They're not really in love. And then I interviewed them together. And it was I swear to God, the sweetest thing. He told the story of going to ask her father for her hand in marriage. As he was, and it was like a real human story. And I thought, you know what, Chris? I like you. And maybe she's ready to grow up. And she's ready to have this like adult relationship. And she's not looking for money in her relationship. They have more money than God. I've been to her house. She's like 1,700 dogs. You know what I mean? Like, they've got dog nannies up and down. But her dog has a better house than I do. You know what I mean? Like, she's good.
And one more for the road from Kelty Knight. What do you got?
Well, I'll give you your choice. Would you like to talk about Celine Dion, sad news, or Kevin Federline, Britney Spears' ex? Kevin Federline.
I'm going to let Andrea decide.
I'm going to say Federline.
Federline, okay.
Yes! Oh, I chose wisely. You chose so wisely. So Kevin Federline, who is Britney Spears' ex-husband and father to her two sons, has asked to increase his child support because he can't seem to get by on the $20,000 a month she's paying him in child support. Now, keep in mind, he has other children from other relationships. He's only supposed to spend this $20,000 a month on Britney Spears' children. So now he's being audited to see, you know, what he's spending the money on and if it's going to the children or if it's just going to him. But guess how much he thinks he needs. He cannot deal with $20,000 a month. He's going to need at least $40,000 a month.
Oh my, give me a friggin' break.
God.
Get a job, Kevin Federline.
What do you spend $40,000 a month on, guys?
Yeah, well, it's...
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, by the pictures I've seen, it's not personal hygiene.
Anyway, I love it so much. They're going to go to court and fight it out. And, you know, Britney doesn't even... It's not even Britney who's saying yes or no, because, of course, her father runs her empire and has control of all of her money. So it's actually going to be daddy versus baby daddy.
How'd you like to be that guy in that conversation where Kevin Federline has to go to his ex-father-in-law and ask for 100% more in support than I'm sure he already feels the creep ought to be getting from his daughter? How about that? Yeah. Hey, Kevin, get a job, Kevin. Get a job. Kelty, you're the best. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, I'm very excited to talk to you guys, and I will keep you updated. I'm sure we'll talk more before the big royal wedding.
All right, follow her on Instagram and everywhere else in social media. It's Kelty Knight. Oh, and from the Emmy-nominated, again, Entertainment Tonight, but that's her third for Kelty.
And Good Hair Day.
Yeah, she looks fabulous.
Yes, always.
I'm having a good hair day today.
Well, you always do.
Let me take my headphones off so you guys can see.
Oh.
Right?
Ooh, look at that.
I'm not lying.
What a treat.
Yeah. I was thinking, John, let me turn John's mic on here. John DeCause, I was thinking about getting a haircut before tomorrow night. Should I take it down from the quarter inch it's at now to maybe an eighth of an inch?
Oh, I definitely think so.
Oh, buzz it a little bit?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of getting wild.
Yeah.
I like the little fuzzy.
You like it fuzzy?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
How about a little gel?
Yeah, you need. I think I need product.
That's a compliment.
So if I put gel on this bald head, it'd look like I was basting a turkey.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Rambling Rose.
Rambling Rose. Why you ramble, no one knows.
The original reason the Loyola of Chicago Ramblers were called the Rambler Zoo. Why? We have the original Rambler in studio right now for an interview. Good morning, Mr. Rambler.
Yes, actually, many people have called me Cheerful Derelict.
I'm sorry, your name again is?
Cheerful Derelict.
You're not a Rambler, you're a Cheerful Derelict.
I am not a Rambler. 1925, they originally called us we were the Grandies.
The Grandies, what is that about?
I have the faintest idea, Steve.
Okay, all right.
I thought it was like a Grand Slam breakfast or something like that, yes, but it was the Grandies from... But in 1980,
yes,
I became the Cheerful Dialect. I had several names at that particular time.
Yes.
Slipshot Sam.
Slipshot Sam,
Irresponsible
good.
Ira.
Irresponsible Ira, I like that.
Yes, me too.
Uh-huh.
Slacker Stan was also...
Not so good on that one.
Nelson Negligent.
Wouldn't it be Negligent Nelson?
Could be, but I like Nelson first.
Okay, and?
Unreliable Uriah.
That doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
No, but, and like an idiot, I got vanity plates that said Unreliable Uriah.
That's a long vanity plate. That
cost me $32,000, Steve.
I would think.
I was a dingy, dilapidated Doug for like a month.
That's very, very
My long. Favorite, however, was, and I thought was the, without a doubt, was the coolest one, was when I said, "What is your name?" And I go, "Bond. Vagabond."
Oh,
so I was pretty pleased with that.
The Vagabonds is a good name.
Yeah.
Well, here's what upset me, Steve. I don't know if you know this, but they got rid of me in the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
And the school voted on this.
Wanted to get rid of the hobo, get rid of the Rambler.
They did. They were going to get rid of it, but it was not the whole school that got rid of it. Believe it or not, it was the women's volleyball team.
The women's volleyball.
They let the women's volleyball team vote, and they decided, gosh darn it, we are not going to have a hobo.
So the women's volleyball team said no more hobos for us, but yet the Rambler's name stuck.
The Rambler, well, keep in mind, this is what you have to go back to, Steve. This is back in the early 20s, uh-huh. The school traveled everywhere. We were constantly on the road because we did not have our own place to play.
True.
Thank you, David.
You're not having a stroke, are you? You have an extended
answer. No. Okay. But we didn't. We could not afford a gym.
Okay.
So you had
no home games.
We had no home games, Steve. Okay. So yes. we were technically rambling everywhere.
All right. So.
And that's how we became, as I said before, the Grandes.
Well, what is your name now?
Dave.
Dave.
Well, that's another Dave.
I know, and I got it from Mr. Ennett. I love his name.
So you decided to call yourself
Dave. I said, gosh darn it, I'm Dave.
All right. So formerly the vagabond that you once were, yeah. You're now Dave the Rambler.
I am Dave the Rambler. I know the big vote was taken. Theo Threadbare was disgusted. But we're done with that. I'll tell you that right now.
How about Hapless Howie?
That was good. That was also a good one.
Yeah.
But you can't miss me. I carry a suitcase and I have a giant rubber head.
It would seem like you'd have a stick with a handkerchief on the back of it that you carried all your belongings.
No, I have regular handkerchiefs. They stay right in my pocket. I don't need a stick for them.
No stick involved.
I do not need that.
Does he have a home?
No, he's a rambler.
I'm a rambler man.
Yeah.
I'm a rambler man. Rambler Dave.
Dave the Rambler. Rambler Dave. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Hey, no. God bless America.
Oh. And go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers.
You know, for a guy that was, you know, not really around till 1980, doesn't he sound really, really old?
He does.
You know, you would think he wouldn't.
And I'm surprised he didn't know his name.
Okay, I just, both of you know, I'm still here. I haven't really gotten up, so because I'm listening
honestly,
to everything you were saying.
1980, his career started in 1980, he'd be about my age.
Uh-huh. So if you say Dave, now you got two people jumping.
Oh, boy. Well, I wouldn't say jumping. Back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
Abreu in the air, deep left, just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Super Joe getting it done. We now, you know, part of the excitement of having the White Sox on 720 WGN is that we are able to tap into the diamond-shaped mind of Steve Stone.
Is it shaped like a
diamond?
It's
shaped like a diamond. I've seen the scans, the x-rays. No better baseball mind than Steve Stone, who will join us most Fridays as time and schedules and things like that permit. Steve.
Steve, how you doing? And the mind these days is shaped just a touch like a bottle of Metamucil, but thank you for the time and reference. I really appreciate that.
Well, we're excited, man. We're very excited to be the flagship for the Sox at a time where this team is right on the verge of becoming one of the most exciting stories in baseball.
There is no doubt when you look and evaluate minor league talent, you will see that in 1, 2, 3, in no particular order, It's certainly going to be us, and it's certainly going to be, Atlanta, you would think, and it's certainly going to be San Diego, and there's a few others that kind of stand out. But yes, the talent is deep. It's very young. It's astonishingly talented. And then we just have to wait for the guys to take the next step. And I think early in spring, and to understand something, you really overrate hitters in spring. You get rock hard infield, high skies, very little wind. Pitchers aren't ready for breaking balls. And so guys that look great in the spring, suddenly it doesn't work out so well. But watching Yoan Moncada last year, realizing that he was expanding his strike zone at times, not swinging at enough strikes, and then what he brought forward to this year, all of a sudden, he's gotten a little more selective. We're seeing power from both sides of the plate. We are seeing the ball jump off his bat, and I think it's only a matter of time because Avi Garcia usually is the team champion in exit velocity, which means that his ground balls will get through and others will just go at somebody. But I think Yoan is one of those guys that you're going to see getting better and better. Think 2 years ago. I'm not talking about just home runs, but think 2 years ago, Aaron Judge. I watched him down here. I watched him early spring, and I didn't know if he would hit water if he fell out of the boat. And then last year, all of a sudden, that guy that was having so many problems with pitch selection and everything else, couldn't hit a high fastball, you could drive a battalion through that hole inside that he had, that guy was gone. And we all know what Judge did last year. And that's what the Sox are waiting for all these guys.
Steve, if we overrate hitters in the spring, I guess the flip side is we tend to underrate pitchers. How much stock do you put into a guy's performance out in Arizona when maybe some of these guys are working on a particular pitch and they're working on stuff? They're a little more concerned with that perhaps than they are with the results as far as the box score and the bottom line.
Well, I think that's what happens. I mean, first of all, things that are getting through here are not going to get through when we head north. And so you look at pitchers, and just take a look at some semblance of spin rate. You know, as we move forward and the analytics of the game get more sophisticated, they come up every year with three or four different type of what some people think are proprietary information. And so talking with Rick Hahn about that, he said, look, about 85% of all the analytics are the same all over baseball. And every team has 15% that either they thought about, they created, because everybody has massive sabermetricians and room after room of computer young fellows and experienced guys that have learned that computer is quite a tool. And so, we take a look at that. And Rick said the next great step, and I was kind of happy because it was back to the future. If everybody has essentially the same analytics, and everybody is privy to that, and then the sky is the limit as to what you can throw into the computer and it spits out, the next great frontier is back to the future, bringing some older scouts with great eyes in. You know, he's seen 100,000 right-hand hitters who have a certain type of stroke.
Right.
This older scout knows that swing flaws in some of these guys will never be corrected. Arm action in some of these pitchers will never be, you look at them and you go, you know what, that guy's not going to make it because he's going to get hurt. And then you look at the hitter again and you say, okay, pitch selection, he can work on that. But massive swing flaws, unless he is supremely talented, he's not going to be able to do it. So those scouts, the older scouts, the guys who have been around, the guys with great, great eyes, and that means you can see a 17-year-old and know the ceiling, or you can see another 17-year-old and say, he was great where he was, he'll be good here, and when he moves forward, time to start thinking of another job. So, yes, everything is developing, and it's just becoming such an interesting game. Look, it's like a game of chess. On the surface, once you learn how the players move, it's simple. You look at baseball, guy hits the ground ball to shortstop, he throws it to first, it's out, it's fly ball to left, he catches it. Simple game, right? There are so many layers, so many nuances. The aficionados, the people who love this game, they can look 5, 6, 7, 10 layers and peel them all back and realize it's an absolutely nuanced game. By the way, played with guys who understand the nuances. Sometimes it'll lose the fans, but as they get to see the game more, they get to love it as I do and everybody else who has made his life in a game of baseball.
Well, with your trained eye, how do you assess the starting rotation of the White Sox?
Well, certainly, look, it's definitely a work in progress because the young guys aren't ready. What I loved was the maturation of Lucas Giolito. I thought that when last year he actually surprised me because I didn't think he would be that good. This spring, he's making that curveball break very sharply and very accurately in Arizona, which is a wonderful sign heading north. But he does have one thing that he concentrated on, which for me is the best pitch in baseball. It's called strike one. Doesn't matter what he throws, whether it's fastball, whether it's cutter, whether it's curveball, whether it's change. If you throw strike one, it's a defensive at-bat. If you throw ball one, it's an offensive at-bat. Stay ahead of the hitter. And he's got to swing at something out of the strike zone. The one thing that people have to understand who watch this game, there are very few pitchers with good enough stuff consistently to get guys out in the strike zone. Most pitchers get guys out of the strike zone. There are certain exceptions. Clayton Kershaw is one of them. Madison Bumgarner, another one. There's great pitchers, but to be really, really consistently have the ability to get hitters out in the strike zone, you have to have overwhelming stuff. That probably is 5 or 6% of all major league pitchers.
Steve Stone, will let you go on this. What's it like in spring training now versus when you were at the peak of your own playing career? You know, how different is the feel for these guys with personalized coaching and nutrition and all the things that go on now?
Some of the greatest things that have happened, you just hit it, nutrition. I mean, teaching these guys how to make sure that their body is the most efficient that they can be. And again, one of the next great strides in baseball is going to be understanding biorhythms, essentially. And that means that figure out the maximum or minimum amount of sleep you want your players to do. Understand that if you can leave really early on a day that you're playing at night, or leaving at a different time, you have, for the players, you have a much more mental approach to the game. You're able to maximize that. Physically, we've gone about as far as we can go. We will move up infinitesimally. But as far as the mental aspect, the sky's the limit. These guys are looking for an edge each and every day. Every team trying to get an edge. And, guys, this is just great. The season is starting, and I'm going to be with WGN all year. I'm going to be there at least twice, and I will pledge you something else. If we're not scheduled and you have a breaking story, give me a call.
Great.
I will tell you to the best of my ability, this is what's going on. And I urge everybody at WGN who does their shows throughout the day, and Stephen sometimes in the evening because I have zero social life. Give me a call if you need something. I'll be here.
Steve, you're thanks, man. Thanks, have a Steve. Great day, and thanks for coming on this morning and being available, and we always appreciate your knowledge. And go Sox!
Absolutely. It's going to be one of those rebuilding years. But you know what? Looking at guys like Tim Anderson and Moncada, and to a certain extent, Avi, and the other young guys on the team, for me, every day is just like Christmas, boys. I love the game. I love this team. You're going to pay some dues. There's going to be some hard times for this team. But when it all comes out the end, you're going to look at a team that not only is competitive every year, but don't make a whole lot of plans 3 years, maybe 4 years from now, but I'm thinking three. Don't make a lot of late season plans.
Right.
You're going to see the White Sox in the postseason. You're going to see them in the World Series. And I am not the master of hyperbole.
No.
They're going
no,
to be there.
Yeah, so keep your Octobers open. Thank you, Steve. Enjoy the day. Steve Stone live from the desert. That's as excited as I've heard him about a team.
I've never
in a long
heard
time.
Him say that about a team before.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
That's great.
Very cool.
And I don't know if you know this. He knows a little bit about baseball.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
He really does do that Nostradamus thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Really does, if you listen and watch. And every inning of White Sox baseball, starting with opening day, which is when?
Opening day is Thursday. It is 6 days away, but we've got this afternoon, we got the Sox and Mariners. We also have the Sunday game against the Brewers, which is their last game in Arizona.
Home opener on April 5th. We will be live from the field in the booth where Ed and DJ do the games. I think
actually,
we're doing
right
booth,
next,
right?
Right next to them.
Oh, we're going to be next to them?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we do the Ed and DJ booth? They don't want us in there?
No, I'm sure they'd
be fine with it. Is Ed mad at you?
No, not yet. I haven't given him a chance to be. He will be, I'm sure, at some point.
So we're looking forward to that, and John Williams and Bill and Wendy will be out there. And
seriously, one bagel?
That's the Rambler. The Loyola Rambler is still trying to get a bagel. 9 o'clock hour is still to come, and much to talk about on a Friday. Too much for the final hour. I don't even know if we'll get it all in.
Oh, fingers crossed. We will.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales. Meant for someone else, but not for me.
Maybe that should be the presidential theme they play when he walks into rooms now. A lot of women fell in love with a Trumpster, apparently. Maybe the women that take him down by the time this is all over.
How poetic.
If we have time, we'll get into that before the show's over. Personally, I'm hoping we don't. The Anderson Cooper interview last night was uncomfortable, to say the least. More of, you know, I don't know how you top Thursday. Yesterday, we had the tariffs that caused the stock market to go boom. The Kerry McDougal play-by-playmate interview I was just mentioning. And a brand new head of the National Security, the NSA head, John Bolton, replacing H.R. McMaster. And that was Thursday.
And who's next?
And Friday is supposed to be, or at least it has been, the big news day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. It's 9:13. And, you know, just when you think you've heard all the good ideas, I met Valerie Groth. And Valerie Groth is her own energy source. She never stops moving, never stops doing stuff for people. And the Ryan Banks Academy is a really cool idea that I wanted everybody to know about. Plus, you and I have a mutual friend.
That's right.
We met. Now, get close to that microphone for me. You just got back from L.A.?
Yeah, we were in L.A. last week for a benefit.
Let's start with the Ryan Banks. Let's start with the fundamentals here. The Ryan Banks Academy is what?
Ryan Banks Academy, I'll start from the beginning. So
yes.
I used to work on the south side of Chicago. I worked as a social worker in the schools for a long time.
Right.
And I worked with a lot of really amazing kids going through a lot of trauma. So homelessness, poverty, violence, abuse, neglect. And I saw that there's a need to have a boarding school in Chicago. Did some research. Other cities have them. Why not Chicago? I was really frustrated seeing so many kids falling through the cracks. I was one social worker to almost 1,000 kids. Since I've left, the ratio has gotten even worse. It's like 1 in 1,200, and it should be 1 in 40.
So these are places in other cities where kids can get out of a tough home environment and actually be able to focus on themselves, their education, and their lives?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big deal, I guess, right?
Yeah, they exist in D.C., Baltimore, Miami, Colorado, but not Chicago.
Okay, and who is Ryan Banks?
Ryan is a former student of mine that I worked very closely with, and unfortunately Ryan was shot and killed back in 2012 when he was only 12 years old.
Sorry.
And yeah, he was an amazing kid, but he was one of so many, you know, that I lost in that way. So
what a great tribute to name this after him.
I'm sorry?
Oh, what a great tribute to name this after.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, that was kind of the last straw. Had the vision before that happened, and when Ryan was killed, it was just this can't wait any longer.
Mm-hmm. If you remember, Oprah started a school in Africa.
Yeah.
And you remember all going, well, it's Oprah. She can get this done. And what a big deal it is to start a school. Can you talk just a little bit about, you know, the 8 million decisions and red tape loopholes you have to jump through just to get this thing going?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we could be here all day. There's a million different components. And because it's boarding, there are so many aspects to it. You know, it's not just building a school, it's building, it's kind of 10x that. So I'm kind of wearing a lot of different hats right now. You're kind of recruiting students and recruiting staff, marketing, facility, writing the curriculum. Thankfully, it's definitely not just me. I have an amazing team of board members, volunteers, supporters here locally and across the country. So
and you didn't know you'd be in the dorm construction business, I suppose, right? Because you got to have a place for these kids to live.
That I'm learning about, yeah, codes and zoning.
oh my God. All the things you never thought you'd want to learn about, right?
Yeah. Do you have a location?
We do. It's not something we can talk too publicly about right now,
okay,
but we are partnering with the Imagine Project. So we can't tell you the location, but we're partnering with a developer, and we'll know more in the next month in terms of how much we can.
But you feel pretty good that you got a spot.
We do, yeah, which is really exciting.
Good. Are you finding students now come to you and saying, hey, we want to be a part of this. This is something that we've, you know, it's an opportunity that we didn't have before, and now we want to be a part of it?
Yeah, we've been hearing from parents for a long time, and we're finally going to officially be recruiting kids over the next month or so. So soon on our website, we'll have a forum for parents to sign up.
What's a typical kid that would be drawn to this or perfect for this?
That's a great question. So I think the current school system does a really great job for a lot of kids. So we're not trying to take over CPS, but I think there's a lot of schools that do a job for the kids who have a safe home to go home to and who have meals on the table. So for kids who have challenges around that, kids who have struggled with homelessness, you know, challenges around getting to school, the students who I think could use the extra support and resources to kind of rise into that top category, we want to give them that wraparound support so that they can be successful.
Now, the funding for this, you can imagine, it's going to take a lot of money. So at the bare minimum, you got to, along with the other, there's been some generous folks that have already jumped in, but you're open to all folks who see the vision and want to help, including a GoFundMe page, which is up now.
Yeah, the GoFundMe just launched a few weeks ago. You can access it through our website, so ryanbanksacademy.org, and there's a big button there. Jeff Garland is one of our supporters, and he gave a great video pitch on the GoFundMe, so you can see his picture and click on that to go to the GoFundMe.
And Jeff Garland's head is larger than mine, so you can't miss it.
Jeff is amazing.
He's a good great, dude, friend of the
great
show.
Guy.
You touched on something, too. I think before school and after school is so important in the development before in getting there. And I know that, you know, the city's done a lot with Safe Passage, but that still is an issue. And then after school programs. So I think the before and the after part, is that what you're seeing too, are just as important as what happens?
Oh, yeah,
the day?
And weekends too. I mean, a lot of kids, I think, kind of have the biggest challenges when they go home on Friday, between Friday and going back to school on Monday morning. Ryan, for example, was lost on a Saturday night. He was just playing in front of his house with his younger brother and was shot and killed. So I think it's before school and after school, but a lot of schools are doing that, and that's, again, not enough for that certain population of kids.
What drew you to social work?
Oh, gosh. I really kind of credit that to my parents. They've always worked kind of in the service world. They worked in the Peace Corps, and just I think it's just kind of part of my DNA.
But taking on a gig on the South Side, and, you know, it's not an easy start. And I assume that's where your career started?
Yeah, it is. I was drawn to working with those kids. I think I knew that it would be kind of bring some extra challenges compared to working in schools where all the kids had support and resources. But I've always kind of been drawn to you know, that demographic of people who need more opportunities and who need that voice.
Yeah.
Are you getting, so you're probably getting community support as well as police support too. I mean, I live in South Loop now, but I grew up on the South Side, and now I'm getting more than ever newsletters, you know, about, hey, come to our CAPS meetings and the aldermen. So they're hopping on board as well?
Yeah, we've been very lucky. We've had the support of, you know, so many individuals, organizations, other nonprofits, other schools, you know, the city, and kind of from the government standpoint. A lot of partnerships that we've been able to set up to tap into the infrastructure
sure.
that exists in Chicago. There's a lot of great programming, and trying to bring it all together to help our kids is important.
Once you get the doors open and the kids recruited and the kids are rolling through it, then is there a template for how other kids will funnel into the school when kids graduate?
In terms of like...
Yeah, well, you have kids, you're going to have seniors who graduate. Where does the next class come from?
Yeah, so a lot of what we've been doing is just building a lot of relationships in the community. So we think that really that's not going to be a big challenge because there's been such a big waiting list.
Which is too bad, to right? In. It's too bad that there...
Yeah, yeah. And for that reason, you know, we hope that eventually there is no need for this. We hope that eventually we can kind of work on these systemic issues that are, you know, plaguing our city so that we won't need to have a Ryan Banks Academy. But in the meantime, this can be a life raft for those kids who need a better solution.
Well, one of the things I really like about your vision is your passion for it, because it's not easy to sell any idea, but to have an idea that not everybody is doing, and then go, wait, I'm not sure you entirely understand. This is where kids are going to live, and they're going to be able to go to school, and they're going to be able to focus on themselves and their future as opposed to worrying about everything else or being drawn to other things they're not going to be drawn to. I suppose that's one of the biggest threats, right? The distractions outside of school?
Yeah. I mean, I lost so many kids to gun violence. I think the temptations in the neighborhood for kids to get involved in things that often can kind of derail them from their academic work. You know, when I worked in the schools, a big part of what I love to do, too, is not just provide counseling to kids individually, but to get them out of the neighborhood to go on excursions kind of downtown on cultural trips and go to museums and visit things in the city. And a lot of my students are just kind of in this little pocket in their neighborhood and haven't been able to get out and to be exposed to what else is out there in the world. And I know for me, growing up as a kid, I grew up in Indiana, and even just kind of coming downtown Chicago opened my eyes to what's possible. So the more you can get kids out of your environment, the better, no matter where they're coming from. So that's a big part of our curriculum, is getting the kids out of the classroom, exploring Chicago as kind of the urban classroom, and also going into the wilderness, doing some adventure learning trips too.
Ages too. I mean, obviously kids should start probably before kindergarten, you know, but what are the age group
so
that you're targeting?
Yeah, so we're going to start with 7th grade kids, okay. And eventually we'll be 7th through 12th grade.
Okay, that's perfect.
And 7th grade kids, middle school kids, you just decided the greatest challenge, I'll start in the middle, because middle school kids, middle school kids are one of the tougher, one of the tougher age ranges. Yeah.
In any neighborhood, in any society.
That's a big part of it. I think middle school is hard for me, and I had a lot of resources and a lot of support.
Mean girls.
Yeah, and I think the kids are really malleable at that age. I think they're old enough that they can kind of be away from their family and have some independence and autonomy. But yeah, still young to kind of be able to mold them.
Stick around. We'll talk some more in a second. RyanBanksAcademy.org. RyanBanksAcademy.org. And the GoFundMe page link is right there?
It is.
All right. So yeah, any help is appreciated.
It's also GoFundMe.com/RyanBanks Academy. But
yeah, and on the GoFundMe page, you can search Ryan Banks.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, spelled just like it sounds, RyanBanks.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah, we'll just get it out there.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. When I'm walking with you, I watch the whole room change.
Ballard Girls here. The Ryan Banks Academy is a boarding school, eventually for 7th to 12th graders in Chicago, which, well, it's an idea whose time has come. Where are you going to get the teachers?
Honestly, that's been really easy. They've been coming from all over the place. So we posted the position for the head of school a few months ago. We were flooded with applications from people all around the country looking for this job. So that's been actually kind of fun. To
it kind of makes you feel good that everybody gets it and has a heart.
Yeah, very much.
How do you, you're the rainmaker for this place and the idea and the founder, what's your role going forward? just continuing to develop it?
And yeah, exactly. As we talked about, there are so many components of this. It's not just a school. So there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes to pull it all together, and the fundraising. And truthfully, we just want to get this off the ground right now and have one campus. That's our focus. But we've had a lot of interest in even thinking about scaling and expanding to other cities. So we'd love to consider that down the road, because we need more than just one in Chicago, and
sure,
other cities need it as well.
Any political support? You getting any help in Springfield or Washington for this?
Not yet. If anyone's listening, we'd love to talk to you.
Right.
You know, I think things have been kind of tough right now in the state, but we're kind of, I think things are getting a little bit stronger down there. So
well, we hope anyway, support. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. And this idea originally started when? Because the point I'm trying to make here is how many years it takes to get your dream off the ground.
I think it's going on 11 or 12 years.
Yeah. You can't quit. I'm sure there are many times where you went, I don't know if I can get this done.
There have been those moments. But it's been an incredible journey, and I'm so glad that we get through those humps. And I think the farther you go along and the more you just are persistent and passionate about your vision, amazing things start to happen. We've had incredible opportunities that I never could have imagined. And I think when you push through the hard moments, there's always something good on the other side.
The Ryan Banks family, whomever you got to know through all of this and the tragedy of losing him, they must be very touched by all of this.
Yeah, I'm still close with the family, especially his aunt, who's been a fantastic support for us.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, nothing will ever make up for losing Ryan, of course, but I know they're definitely excited to have this off the ground.
Well, this is the type of thing where you can do your best to make sure that there's not going to be more Ryan Banks stories down the road.
Exactly.
Of losing your life at 12.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Last word.
I just think it's a great, go to the GoFundMe page, because it's a great endeavor. And I wish you all the success.
And we'll talk more. I just am happy to help.
Matter of fact,
I just made a donation during the break. That's how short a time it takes. 2 minutes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
2 minutes. Jump on at RyanBanksAcademy.org. Or at the GoFundMe page.
And again, it's not just during the day. I think it's great that you're doing things before and after school, too. I mean, key times.
So. Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. Stick around. You can lurk in the studio for a bit if you like. 9:29. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. But I know I'm about one thing.
Super Joe has scoured the internet and found every hit record with Rambler or Ramblin' in it and been playing them all morning. Nice job by you, Joe.
Yeah, I also look for songs that say I don't like Steve in them.
Ah! No luck on that so far?
Oh, they're coming.
Oh, they're coming. Okay. Last time, the continuing adventures of David Hochberg, the last time he was on the show, he was mortgaging every property he owned himself so he could pay for his daughter's bat mitzvah.
Yeah, thank God that's over.
And how did that go?
I've got about 14 more days until the bills start hitting. So
you could still run.
Yes,
you could still leave the country.
Yeah, there's a flight to Cuba via Miami and a boat. But
did she have a lovely party? I hope.
Yeah, she had. She did. Well, first, most importantly, she did amazing on the Bima, reading the Torah and doing the religious.
Andre, I don't expect you to know this.
No,
Jewish children actually have to get on a balance beam.
Yes,
while they read. That's why it's called
in a leotard.
Yes,
in a leotard.
Boys and the girls, right?
And that's why it's called the Bima.
Right. Right. Yes. Steve will be teaching Sunday school at
Temple
BJBE
at Temple. How much?
No.
Yes.
Yes. So she did an amazing job with her religious portion. And she had a very fun time at her party, and I'm glad she enjoyed.
Well,
the
if you're going to go broke, you got to go broke.
If you're
going to
go
happy,
right.
Yeah.
So,
do you see yourself in the future having enough to recharge the bank accounts for her eventual wedding?
Well, that's why I'm here to talk with your. Oh, yeah, thank you for the bank account. I have three weddings coming. I have one more bat mitzvah in 3 years, and three weddings probably. Mm-hmm.
What's more expensive?
Who knows? Just
David is hoping that the longstanding tradition of the father of the bride paying for everything somehow changes
in the next 10 years.
David, I got news for
it
you.
It doesn't, Dave?
Not really yet.
You got an open credit card I could borrow in the next 10 years for? Yeah. So, listen, right?
It's only money.
It's only money. People have fun.
Pearl Mortgage.
Yes.
All right, let's start with how people get a hold of you.
Very simple. There's a number of different ways. You go to WGNDavid.com. You could also call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the easiest ways for your listeners to connect with us.
And I don't know if you know this, but my son works for you.
Yeah, from what I understand, he's doing a great job. I have a card here. I remember the lady from Iowa on the treadmill, story we closed?
Yeah.
She wrote a handwritten card.
That's always nice. That stands out in the current world.
It's very nice. David, thank you so much for taking my refinance case. Your staff was amazing. Kind regards, and I won't say her name, but and Ross did the loan and saved her $1,450. I forgot the exact number, but took her away from our rocket loving lending people that wanted to jam it to her with over $6,000 to $7,000 more closing costs than we did, and saved her over $1,400 to $1,500 a month. A single mother of two children, who has to travel to Chicago from Iowa to work.
How about that?
Right, and the rocket loving lending people wanted to charge her over $6,000 more in closing costs
and saved her $15,000 over the course of the year.
Yeah, cash,
straight cash, homie.
So things are good. Ross doing a fine job. He's doing a great job with the internet marketing as well.
Sure, and social media, you can follow David Hochberg and follow Pearl Mortgage all over your Twitters and things.
Doing a great job.
All right, so what we've heard in the last couple of weeks, rates be going up.
Yeah, a little bit.
What are we at?
Right now, the average 30-year fixed loan, according to Freddie Mac, is like 4.4%.
Okay.
Last year, according to FreddieMac.com, you could go, it was like 3.8, 3.9. So we're up a full half a point from last year. No matter what some lenders out there want you to believe, right? Because there's still a lender out there. If you're not in the threes, call me. Mm-hmm. But they don't tell you what product they're putting you into or how much it's going to cost you to get you into the threes.
They just pick up the phone and giggle. They don't really have anything. It's just call me.
Or it's an adjustable rate mortgage, or it's a 2-1 buy down, or it's a, when I was on Bill and Wendy's show last week, I said, yeah, I get you into the threes, but it'll be $11,000 in closing costs with discount points and everything else to get you down. So there's a number of different ways to fit you into. If I wanted to get into a pair of 34-inch pants, Steve, I know I have a commercial with that. I could do that, but I'd probably take 4 inches of skin off my hide in order to get in there and not be able to breathe.
Plus, we'd need a crew.
Well, you would need a big crew. A lot of come-alongs, a lot of axle grease.
Picturing like a big shoehorn though.
Right,
curvy.
No, it would be a lot of heavy equipment to pull that off. But rates are up. What does that mean? Short-term interest rates are up a quarter point. The Fed raised them, and they're going to raise them again a couple more times during this year. You don't know if it's going to be a quarter of a point. It's going to be half a point or three-quarters of a point. They didn't say. They just said they're going to raise it again.
So if you're considering doing this, I would say not waiting might be a good guy.
We've been talking about not waiting for a year and a half.
Yeah.
I'll give you a perfect example of a gentleman. A WGN listener has been listening to me on WGN for years. He's 70. His wife is 68 years old. They're living in a home. He wants to move. She wants to stay. They're in a 30-year fixed loan, $180,000 at 4.375. They have a home equity line of credit with $100,000 that has increased 7-8 times now in the past 2 years. Every quarter of a point increase is costing this gentleman an extra $21 a month. What I talked to him about is putting him into a 10-year adjustable rate mortgage, combining both loans, taking out an extra $20,000 for a little rainy day fund, and putting him into a 10-year fixed loan on a 30-year amortized basis. His payment went down $100, and he had $20,000 in the bank. And, he was a little freaked out about an adjustable rate mortgage. And I'm just like, listen, I got a better chance of giving birth to Siamese twins elephants than you being in that house in another 10 years. Okay? It's not going to happen. And he's like, let me talk to the wife, the boss and everything. So there are still a lot of strategies out there, Steve and Andrea and Dave and everybody else listening, that if people want to rearrange their financial furniture, all we're doing is playing monetary monopoly. I got trouble for using the other M word, so we're trying to clean it up a little bit. Monetary monopoly, mm-hmm. where you're just moving the pieces around the board and making sure the amount of money coming out of your pocket with lower risk is the same or less than what's coming out of your pocket now.
And you know this, David Hochberg knows every possible, and they're all legal, every legal, legitimate angle to play to benefit you. All that stuff that makes you glaze over and go, I don't get it.
Right.
He does.
Absolutely. And you don't have to get it. As long as you get it and I save money, which I did, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
David, interest rates will go up, and then there's a rumor that, again, they'll go up again at the end of the year. Who is this a better market for, buyers or sellers?
It's a great time. Well, it's both. It's a great time for sellers
because the limited inventory out there, the home values are going up. We saw homes, you know, you'll be happy, Dave, in Deerfield. We did an appraisal on a home in your neighborhood in November, and then something happened with the loan. We couldn't get it done. We had to order a new appraisal just recently. The values are up $15,000 from...
But wait. Dave lives on a safari.
Well, right.
He lives on a road that goes nowhere.
It's not a safari.
No, it's Disney creatures frolic in his yard.
I've been living in that area for 40 years, and I had no idea that street was there. Until I had to go to his house to drop documents off for his loan.
Animated Disney creatures dance in his yard
it's
every
a
day.
Nook.
Right.
Yeah.
My GPS say, turn right here. Turn right here. Turn right here. I'm like, looking. I'm like, what am I turning right into? It's like the Batcave.
No, I'm going to tell you, my GPS, Dave, the first time I went to your house, my GPS went, oh, look, I don't know either.
Dave lives in a little street that kind of goes no place, and there's three or four houses off.
He took that whole celebrity thing way too seriously.
That's okay. Our neighbor's house got struck by lightning, and the fire engines went right past it. They didn't know the street exists.
Yeah, apparently Mother Nature found you.
Yeah.
It's like the Bat Cave. You know, you pull up, and there's a barricade. Yeah. You got to go in a certain way. The Bat Cave goes down, and Dave goes in.
All right, stick around. More with David Hochberg in a second. Andre will come back and grill him. We'll do that in just a second on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Did you hear about the Midnight Rambler? Everybody got to go.
Remember this?
Did you hear about the
Stones.
Midnight Rambler,
Stones.
You want to start the kitchen?
Dave Bennett has his shades on. He's letting his head drop. Doing his head drop. Hit it left, hit it right. Hit it all night. You know what I'm talking about. David Hochberg's here. Pearl Mortgage, WGNDavid.com. And the phone number again is
312-751-1333.
Finish answering Andrea's question.
Can I follow up that?
I asked you if it was a buyer's market or a seller's market.
It's great for sellers because any realtor out there will tell you that the limited inventory is driving home values up. So the people that were sitting on the sidelines that lost on paper 15, 20, 30, 40, 50% of their home's equity in 07 and 08 and wanted to get out are now finally are able to get out back to where they were plus extra equity in their home from the 07, 08 collapse. It's great for home buyers because you know you're buying in a solidified market, right? You're not buying in 07, 08 where you bought it for $300,000 and then 2 months later you had a short sale down the block and now your house is worth $260,000. And then next week, you know, there's a foreclosure. Now you're down to $220,000, which happened to a lot of people that bought from 06 to 08. Yep. You know, it was like catching falling knives. You just didn't know what was going on. So it's a great, solid, efficient market. Right. You've got buyers and sellers. You've got highly qualified people buying. And, you know, we're putting people through an approval process prior to getting into a realtor's car so we could close people within 14 business days. All we need is clean title, clean appraisal, you not to blow your credit up during the time between we pull
that's
it. And the
that's David's favorite thing is when you are this close to getting approved and you go out and buy something on a credit card.
Like a boat?
Going to Apt and spending $50,000 on electronics and stoves and refrigerator, which
and
is
celebrating.
Great. Right. But get the flipping keys and on the way home from the title company, pull into Apt, meet Steve or whoever you want to meet.
Shapiro, sure.
Right. And go open up an Apt card, but at least close the loan before you spend $40,000-$50,000 on appliances and electronics and everything.
See, I told you it was his favorite.
Yeah.
You know, and now you could get it's wonderful there. You know what you could get? You could get a mattress. You could go get Toomey luggage.
Yeah.
You could go get a watch.
Yeah.
And then you
could
go to Dylan's Chocolate right there, and you can put it all on the app credit
new
card.
New computer.
It's phenomenal.
Washer, dryer.
A pair of sunglasses.
But wait till you close.
Wait till you leave. On the way back from the title company, stop into Apt. Not on the way to the title company.
I like the fact that Dave wants to follow this. Yes, Dave,
I
do. Have a question?
How much? Well, I have a question about credit rating.
Yeah.
And so, like, I have to buy a new car.
Correct.
All right.
Not on your credit.
No, I don't. And I don't need it. That's not what I'm talking about. But how much does that affect your credit rating? Just one major purchase.
Depends on how strong you were before you pulled the credit.
I'm sorry. Super Joe says your credit's no good here.
It all depends on how strong your credit was before you bought anything, right? We always tell people, anybody in the mortgage industry, any lending will tell you, any large purchase is going to negatively impact your credit. And listen, you might be able to go out there because your credit is great and you're strong enough and you're healthy enough credit-wise that you could afford to take on a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 car loan with a $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 payment. Might not impact you. But people that are like going out about ready to go buy a house, we tell them, lock it down. Right? Don't do anything. Don't apply. Don't close any credit. We always encourage people, if you're looking to buy a home, call up your credit card companies now and increase the limits on all your credit cards. Pick up availability and don't apply for anything. Like we said, App's a great place. I love App. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars in App on the 6-7 homes that I've owned. But wait till you own the home before you go into App to start doing, you know, buying your 3 or 4 TVs and your washer and dryer.
It's David's favorite.
Right.
I got 10 seconds. Tell them how to get a hold of you.
Very simple. WGNDavid.com. You could go to the website and all the information's there. You could go to also the phone number, 312-751-1333, 312-751-1333. We're posting videos on our website on a daily basis. Facebook, David Hochberg of Pearl Mortgage, that Ross has been doing videos with me and you. Sure. And we've done a number of different videos. On Twitter as well, at David Hochberg. Looking forward to helping your listeners.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Thank you for the opportunity.
God bless your mom, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
A couple of minutes before 10, Bill and Wendy next. Everybody have a good weekend. Fine weekend. Don't forget the March for Our Lives tomorrow. You covering this? Or
yeah.
Channel 9's covering this?
Yeah, Channel 9's covering it. Union Park or Union Square on the west side, and then in Elgin, too.
And the Burbs. There are several marches, I believe, in the Burbs as well. So, Dave, what time tomorrow for Loyola?
They play at 5:09 tomorrow. And again, Loyola fans now, Steve, are known as?
They are no. He's been trying to get this on the show all morning long.
I got it at 6, but...
Ram believers,
not famblers. I would have gone with famblers.
Oh, that's an even better one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
Ram believers.
Competing here, Bill?
No, I'm not. I don't want to compete. You know, like,
I've already got the T-shirts being printed.
Oh, then you go with that. Then,
yeah, Ram believers.
Oh. That's not good.
You know, Ben.
Sorry, Dave. I love you, but really.
Wow.
Really?
How honest.
Okay.
He waited the whole show to get it in too. How you guys? You good?
We're good.
Speaking of Loyola,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be something if we had Sister Jean on at the top of the show to talk about last night's game?
That'd be tremendous.
It would be something.
Couldn't do it.
We've said our prayers.
Get her. No, she's going to be on.
Is she really?
Sister Jean.
Oh, that's great. Woo! Well, then let's get out of here so you can have room for Sister Jean. See you Monday.
Bless you. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. And if you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News brought to you by Arca Deck.